The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, and when a man finds for joy thereof, he goes, he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Have you found it to be that way? I want to say the Word of God is like a gold mine, that we can dig in that gold mine and just keep finding treasure. In fact, we can spend our entire life digging in this gold mine and finding treasure. I remember Grandpa, I think he was 100 years old, when he gave his last Revelation study, Grandpa was still finding gold. And I read out of this gold mine a treasure that I'd like to leave with you today. It's found in Psalms 34 and verse 14. Psalms 34 and 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. I got a new thought out of peace, and that is there's some action required on our part. It says to seek peace and pursue it. Peace isn't something that just happens. That it's either you have it or you don't. But there is some effort on our part when it comes to peace. Some of you may be hunters. There are hunters that put a great effort into hunting. They buy a lot of gear. They'll take vacation time. They'll go deep into the wilderness. They'll spend days. They'll rough it. Get away from the comforts of home. They'll get up early in the morning. They'll endure some bad weather. They're pursuing something, aren't they? I have got to get that trophy game. And they're going to stay after it, determined I'm going to have that. It requires great effort. It requires some patience. That's one area where I don't do too well with fishing. I'm just not getting some action here. I'm ready to go on. And maybe that's part of the reason I'm not a very good fisherman. I've been with Dad before, and it just seemed like he was pulling them in and pulling them in and getting a little frustrating for me. Now, I enjoyed my time with Dad, but it requires some patience, doesn't it? When we are really intent for something, when we want it real badly, that hunter's ready to wait. And willing to keep waiting and keep waiting. Because there's something he wants very badly. And when he finds the sign of his game, he's ready to pursue. He's going to stay on that trail or do whatever it takes to get that which he's looking for. Well, sometimes we have to put a real effort into finding peace. That's right. Have you ever been in a situation in your life and discovered there's no peace? Maybe it's a situation that develops at work or in the family or with a neighbor, and you discover there's no peace here. Well, I want to tell you, sometimes it's going to take some real effort on our part to start seeking after. There's some peace to be found here somewhere. But there's going to be some effort on my part, just like that hunter that is diligent after his game. I'm determined I'm going to find the peace in this situation. No matter how difficult the boss is, no matter how contrary the neighbor is, there's some peace here to be found somewhere. And I will find it. I'm not going to be deterred until I find peace. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 25. Jesus said, agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Jesus didn't say, agree with thine adversary if you're pretty sure you're winning the argument. But he said, agree quickly. Because there are consequences to not agreeing. The peace is going to get away from you. Sometimes we feel like we need the last word. After all, we're right, aren't we? But let me tell you, it's hard to find peace if you're always seeking the last word. To make sure your point was the point that was heard. Seeking to win the argument, to be the winner. It's real hard to be seeking peace in a situation like that. Proverbs 15:1 tells us, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. When the situation is not peaceful, I need to be seeking a soft answer. Lord, what's the answer that I give this person in this situation? I don't want to be stirring up anger. I don't want my words to be grievous to this other person. There have been times I've dealt with a very delicate situation and perhaps be writing something to someone. And I go back and I'll review that. This word right here, I think I can soften that some. Maybe this sentence just needs to come out. It's true, I won't have made my point, but maybe I'd be better off just to leave that part alone. Seeking peace. Seeking a soft answer. Sometimes I've had some spiritual advisors review what I had to write to address a certain situation. What do you think? And they tell me some of the same things. That word right there, that sentence, I think you need to work that over. Listen, we need to have a heart that seeks peace with other people. Seeking peace isn't something that comes naturally. Our carnal man, if we give vent to it, destroys peace. Luke chapter 14 and verse 31. Luke chapter 14, verse 31. What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth the conditions of peace. I recognize I'm overwhelmed here. I can't handle this situation. I cannot convince you to my point of view. One thing I discovered is that in engineering school, they don't teach you how to solve people problems. And I discovered after I got out in the real world that solving an engineering problem is a whole lot easier than solving people problems. You can't come up with enough logic to change people's emotions. That was a great challenge. The Lord wants us to seek peace. Sometimes situations will overwhelm us. I'm outnumbered here, and I want peace. Okay, you just tell me, what do we need to do to be at peace? I want to be friends with you. I want our relationship to be healthy and healed and for us to work together. What are the conditions of peace? Lord, help us that we'll be willing to seek peace. He sendeth an ambassage and desireth the conditions of peace. Well, we can't find peace if we're seeking revenge. Those two are in direct conflict. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men. Did you notice it said all men? This is people that are beyond just those who are my friends, beyond those who treat me right. The Lord God in heaven sends rain on the just and the unjust. And the Scripture exhorts us to follow peace with all men. That can be a challenge sometimes, can't it? Now, sometimes people will tell me that something cannot be done. And they don't realize they just gave me a challenge that I'm interested in pursuing. You're telling me this problem cannot be solved? No, we can't do that. That's an interesting challenge. Well, sometimes people are that way too. I'm thinking of a difficult person that I encounter sometimes at work. Hardly ever see a smile. Saw him going down the aisle. How's it going? Frown and just kept right on going. That's a challenge to me. I want to seek peace. How about getting a box of donuts, my favorite kind, and going, hey, how about a donut? Just let's do a little something here to break the ice, whatever it is. We need to seek peace with all men. It's real easy when people are nice to us. There is an order to peace, just like when we build a house. I don't start with the rafters, the shingles, the decking, if I'm going to build a house. I start with a foundation. And there is a foundation to peace. I'd like to give you the order of peace here. First of all, we have to have peace in our own heart. Then we can have peace in the home. We can have peace with the brethren. And then we can be at peace with people in the world. It's hard to be at peace in the home if we don't have it in our own hearts. If the heart is in a turmoil, if we don't have peace with the Lord, then it's hard to have peace with the ones with whom we are the closest. And if we don't have peace in the home, we may put on a front to people in the congregation, to people outside, but really it doesn't work too well, does it? We need to start in the home. I think about the desire to go and work in foreign mission fields. Does it make sense to go spread the gospel of peace there if we don't have peace with the brethren in the congregation? I believe things need to start at home. We need to be at peace there first, and then we can spread the gospel of peace. And if we are in unity with the brethren, if we have peace with them, then I believe we can be at peace with folks in the world as well. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Did you notice there is a priority here? It says for us to do good unto all men. But it says especially to those that are of the household of faith. There is an order of peace. It's good to start close to home and then let it branch out from there. If we don't, if we have that discord in our own hearts, naturally that's going to spread out to other people as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. This is how we can have peace with other people, if we don't render evil for evil. Another scripture says for us not to be overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good. It helps us that we can be at peace with other people. Proverbs 16 and 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Have you found that to be so in your own life? That as you seek to please the Lord, that it starts making peace in relationships with other people. The reason is the man whose ways please the Lord is a man who's pursuing peace. He makes a real effort toward it in his life. Let's read in James chapter 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Notice where it starts here. It says, in your hearts. If you have bitter envying and strife. Verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, is sensual, devilish. The wisdom of this world says, if someone hits you, you hit them back. If your enemy hates you, you hate your enemy. That's carnal wisdom. That's fleshly wisdom. And that wisdom is not the wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that comes from above is peaceable. Verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. The wisdom that is from below is like Psalms, the first chapter, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly counsel is the counsel of carnality, the counsel of getting back at other people, and it will destroy our peace. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. These people are known as peacemakers, those that make peace. People who become skilled in the pursuit of peace are peacemakers. Thank you. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. There's a real blessing in our life if we pursue peace. If we become the one that makes the effort toward peace in those difficult situations, if we're the one that makes the effort toward reconciliation, the Lord will put a blessing on our lives. It's easy in our lives to get concerned about things being fair. I like fairness, don't you? But when things aren't fair, it has a tendency to disrupt our peace. Well, we'll do better if we can just simply accept the fact that life is not fair. It's easy to get caught up in campaigns, in demonstrations, in lawsuits, all these things that are intended somehow to make life fair. I believe there is a place for making our voice known, for contacting government leaders. I believe there's a place for that. But if we consume our lives and we get the wrong attitude and we get all stirred up in our heart, we're not going to be pursuing peace. Pursuing justice gets in the way of the pursuit of peace. Peace comes from letting others take advantage of us. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Seek meekness. A person who's meek is humble, is unassuming, is quiet, is gentle. Seek after those types of things. And there's a real blessing that comes from that. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Yes. Not only may you spare yourself being cast into prison because of refusing to agree with an adversary quickly, but when the day of the Lord's wrath comes, you will be spared. Yes. 1 Peter chapter 3. (Clears throat) 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrary, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." I want you to notice a connection here. Now, we have the choice. We can render evil for evil. Somebody rails on us, we can rail on them. And the carnal man really wants to do that, doesn't he? But if we don't do those things, in verse 9, "knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." There's something tied to this. There's something tied to whether or not I pursue peace, whether or not I let people take advantage of me in life, and I don't just be a person that always stands up for his rights. The blessing of the Lord is on that. Lord, help us to be willing to pursue peace and to seek it. Verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it." This word ensue means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing, to run after. Have you ever thought of peace in that way before? I tended to think, well, peace is just something that kind of happens eventually. No, run after it hard. Whatever you have to do, it takes some effort for people to treat you badly and you to say, "Lord, give me grace. I'm going to swallow this down and I'm not going to retaliate." Yes. That's pursuing. That's running hard after it. I'm not going to let peace go. I'm not going to let my enemy keep me in the advantage of keeping me in misery and all stirred up. I'm going to pursue peace instead. To press on, figuratively, of one in a race who runs swiftly to reach the goal. To seek after eagerly, earnestly endeavor to inquire. Well, some folks choose not to pursue peace. Let's read in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 19. Proverbs 11 and 19, "As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death." If we don't pursue peace, we're pursuing something else, aren't we? Maybe it's revenge. Maybe it's whatever it is. The right to hold unforgiveness. But if we pursue those other things, it says, "He that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death." Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Some people choose not to pursue peace in life. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 4. "None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper." Verse 7, "Their feet run to evil." They're pursuing something else, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. "Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths." Notice verse 8, "The way of peace they know not." When people run after evil, they're not going to know the way of peace. Notice people run after evil. I want you to impress on you today the thought of an action on our part to have the alternative, which is peace. Yes, Don't just sit there and hope peace comes. Run after it. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Proverbs 6 and 16. If we want peace, there's the right ingredient we need to have in our life to have it. Proverbs 6 and 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 19 includes a part of the list, and it says, he that soweth discord among the brethren. The sower of discord is not going to have peace either. He that sows seeds to take away the peace of others himself is going to miss out on peace. I used to love to go deer hunting, and I learned that to be a successful deer hunter, you need to know the right combination of things. You need to know something about a deer. One time, I was out in the woods by myself, and I heard quite a ruckus. Dry leaves on the ground, and something was just, I knew it wasn't a deer. And after a while, I saw that was an armadillo. An armadillo has very poor eyesight, is what I understand, to the point they're almost blind. And they go bumbling along in the woods and digging, and very much unlike a deer. A deer is stealthy, very quiet. It's important to know that about a deer if you want to be able to successfully hunt deer. A deer has excellent hearing. So don't be loud. Be very, very quiet. A deer has excellent sight. So don't move. Put on your camo. A deer has excellent sense of smell. So pay attention to which direction the wind's blowing. Try to make yourself as scentless as possible. I used to hang my clothes outside so they absorb the smell of the outside. It's important to know all these things in order to be successful as a deer hunter, because you get one thing wrong out of the mix, and there goes your deer. You missed it. A deer is very watchful. They spend a good part of their time jerking their head up and looking around for danger. It's important to know that. Well, let me tell you something. We can develop a skill in pursuing peace. We can start to learn about situations so that when we go into a difficult situation, we know the right ingredients that we have to put in that situation to have peace. Now, to hunt a deer with bow and arrow is very challenging. And so is obtaining peace in some of these very difficult situations. It takes knowing something about it. It takes a real effort, a real diligence on our part to pursue peace. Pursuing peace requires determination. Just like Jacob, I will not let thee go. The day breaks, let me go. No, I'm not going to let you go until I receive my blessing. Sometimes when the storm's rough, we have to keep hanging on until the peace comes. Peace being pursued requires humility. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 13. These are some of the ingredients to be a successful peace hunter. The story of Abram and Lot, Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Verse 5, and Lot also went up with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle,
And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. There was a strife between people. That's just a part of the human condition, isn't it? No matter if we lived in Canaan or if we live here in this time, there's going to be strife between people. And we'll be put in a situation that the peace is gone. Well, the human tendency is this. Give me the facts. Let's make an unbiased judgment on the facts. And then if that judgment is followed through and everything is fair, we can have peace. Isn't that human reasoning? That's the way our courts are supposed to work. Well, Abram was a man that was skilled in the pursuit of peace. But verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren." I want you to notice the foremost thought on Abram's mind. This is important. Let there be no strife. It was not, are things fair? It was not, I am the elder, you are the younger one. It was not, you're the one that tagged along with me to come here in the first place. By rights, I ought to have first say. His primary concern was, let there be no strife. This is the sign of a peacemaker. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then will I go to the left. How could he lose in a situation like that? I mean, how could you argue anymore? Strife automatically goes away, doesn't it? Is there an issue here? First of all, don't let there be strife. And by the way, what is it you want? Well, take what you want. That is a sure recipe for bringing peace. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and you know what he did? He took the best part from the human reasoning standpoint. Well, Abraham was in the list of the heroes of faith, if we read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Speaks very well of Abraham, but I don't find Lot mentioned here. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now this was Abraham's inheritance. But when strife came up, remember there was something motivating Abraham in life deeper than the inheritance. Yes. It says he looked for a city which hath foundations. Anything that we can gain to ourselves in this life will pass away. All the lands, all the riches, all the arguments that we might win. What difference does it really make? Let's look for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's a man who is a man that pursues peace. Pursuing peace requires patience. Let's read in James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Did you know that patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit? The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, that he might receive the early and latter rain. Lord, I want peace. I want this relationship healed. I want peace in the home. I want peace with my coworker, with my neighbor. I'm willing to wait, Lord.
I'm willing to suffer some things, and I may have to wait all the way until the latter rain. But I want that fruit, Lord. I'm not going to pluck it unripe. Pursuing peace requires patience. It requires forgiveness. If you don't forgive somebody, do you have any peace? I've had a challenge trying to forgive people because of something they said. Well, what about people who have had a child murdered? Makes my grievance look pretty petty, doesn't it? I'm going to give up peace because somebody said something? Because somebody gave me the cold shoulder, I'm going to give up peace? No, I'm going to pursue peace. I want it badly. I'm going to suffer some things for peace. I'm going to have patience. I'm going to run after peace until I have it. I'm not going to let a few things take my peace away. Now, we're human. We have emotions. We'll feel turmoils. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a persistence in our hearts, a desire for the situation to become peaceful. And we can have a peace in our heart even though that situation is difficult. Andres was in prison in Honduras. And I had visited Andres over the years. And he knew about the Lord. He had sat under the preaching of the gospel. And I talked to him about his soul different times. And he told me, I cannot forgive my wife. Well, that's a sad situation. Here you are in prison, in misery, and you cannot forgive your wife. Well, on our most recent trip to Honduras, I saw Andres. He had come out of prison. And he had been drinking and gambling. And that was his life. When we refuse to forgive, it's going to destroy our peace. We're going to suffer loss and destruction. Pursuing peace requires forgiveness. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 19. Isaiah 57 and 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. That's the Lord's desire for us, that we have peace. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I think I'd want to forgive my wife or my neighbor or whoever it may be so that I could have peace. I don't want my heart like this sea just churning up the mire all the time. I want peace in my heart and my life. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48 and 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. The Lord has an abundance of peace for us. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Lord wants peace for us in our life that we have to be willing to pursue. John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14 and 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world seeks for peace. They'll listen to music. They'll use alcohol. They'll go to counselors trying to find peace somehow. But the Lord has made an offer. My peace I give unto you. Not peace like the world gives. That's the kind of peace that we want. Let's pursue after it. Let's put our hearts into it. Lord, I want your peace. No matter what the situation in life is, Lord, give me your peace. Pursuing peace is a lifelong effort. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be opened unto you. Not seek and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. Seek peace and you will find it." That's a promise. "Knock and it shall be opened unto you." It's a lifelong effort because we're humans, because we have problems, because people will do us wrong. There will be financial reverses. So throughout our life, we are to seek peace. And the promise is, you will find it. The scripture says in Psalms 37:37, "Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." If you've been pursuing peace all throughout your life, I have good news for you. The end of you will be peace. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to be at peace for all eternity? Then let's pursue peace every day of our lives. Let's put a real effort into it. And when a difficult situation comes your way, I hope you remember I'm in pursuit of peace. I'm not just sitting around waiting for peace to happen to me, but I'm going after it. It's like a game of hide and seek. I know peace is in the situation somewhere. Now the challenge is for me to find it. Difficult people, you can actually enjoy the challenge of securing peace with that person. May God bless you.